Alright, Rebbe, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Chaf Beis 122. We are picking up from 121b, the last line on the daf. Rebbe, say we dedicate our shir this morning in the great zuchos of the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. We dedicate the shir, first of all, again, in the zuchos of Aliyah for the neshamas of all of the precious soldiers who gave their lives fighting for Yerushalayim, paving the way to Yerushalayim, that we could enjoy the beautiful city, the coastal Ma'aravi that we have today. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, their neshamas will have an Aliyah, and we hope that the great simcha that we celebrate that occurred 50 years ago, hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mashlim that simcha with the coming of Mashiach Meher Rabbi Aminu. Amen. So says the Gemara. And again, how beautiful it is that we're in the middle of the sugya of Eretz Yisrael. See, by the Eretz Yisrael, the Shvatim Iflog, O Dilma, Lekarfev, Garbi Iflog. So also, the Gemara asked an interesting question. Was Eretz Yisrael divided up amongst the Shvatim, or was Eretz Yisrael divided up by according to each individual? That's the Shaila. So meaning, did every single person get a portion in Eretz Yisrael? Or ultimately, again, was Eretz Yisrael divided up amongst the Shvatim, and then each Shevet had the responsibility to divide up the land among its constituents? So top of Kuf Chaf Beis, Tashma. So we'll say, let's analyze this. Bein Rav Lema'at. So the Gemara says over here, the Pasuk says that ultimately the land is divided up through a goral, through a lottery. Bein Rav Lema'at. Now the Rashbam points out to Rabosai that Bein Rav Lema'at only makes sense if at the end of the day it's being divided up by Shvatim. Because Rabosai, if it's being divided up head by head, then everybody's getting an equal portion pretty much. Bein Rav Lema'at, when you say a little or a lot, that indicates to us that Lema'isa Eretz Yisrael is being divided up amongst the Shvatim. Rabosai, just so you understand, this question of Eretz Yisrael being divided up amongst the Shvatim or individuals is also an interesting, profound, like hashkafic question about Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, is Eretz Yisrael something that we enjoy a personal relationship with, or is Eretz Yisrael something that we enjoy a klal Yisrael relationship? In other words, is the relationship between the land and the people exactly that, between the land and the people, the nation, klal Yisrael, as expressed in the tribes, or is the relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the Jew, we'll call it kesher ishi, or kesher prati, an individual relationship between the land and every individual? So that's really, that's the fundamental underpinning of this shaila. So the Gemara says, "Oh, another brayse that says, Asid Eretz Yisrael shetischalek l'shlosha asar shvatim." So let's say this is interesting. In the future, Eretz Yisrael will be divided up amongst 13 tribes. Shebetchila lo nischalka. When we say the future, we mean Mashiach. Shebetchila lo nischalka l'shnei masar shvatim, v'lo nischalka ela b'kesef. Because it was when the land was first divided, it was only divided up amongst 12 tribes. Now we're going to discuss exactly what that means. So I will say, the way the Gemara is understanding it now is that if certain tribes got more valuable land, so there would be like a payoff from one tribe to another to try to equalize the monetary value of what it is that they receive. We'll explain that in a little bit greater depth. Shenemar bein rav lema'at. I'm Rabbi Huda. So Rabbi Huda says, what does this mean? So for example, Rabbi Huda says that one sa'ah of land in the tribal area of Yehuda was worth 5 sa'ah of land in the north, in the Galil. Furthermore, again, the land was only divided up through lottery. Shene emar, ach v'goral. V'lo neschalka, ele b'urim v'tumim. But one second, but the Gemara says that the land was divided up through the Urim v'tumim. We'll say again, remember, the Urim v'tumim refers to the breastplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, that they were able to ask questions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ribbono Shel Olam would communicate to them through the medium of the Choshen. Specifically, again, remember, the names of the 12 tribes of the Shatim are written on the Choshen, so when the Kohen Gadol, the Melech, or the Navi were asked to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu a question, the Ribbono Shel Olam would respond ultimately, again, by having the letters light up, and those letters would be put together into a message. So we have an interesting idea over here. On one hand, the Torah says that Eretz Yisrael is divided up through a goral, through a lottery. Yet it says afterwards that it's through Urim v'Tumim, Mishnemar, Apia Gora, Haketzah. So we'll say, which one is it? Is it that the land was divided up through a lottery, or the land was divided up through Urim v'Tumim? To which the Gemara says, essentially, both. So Ketzah, Elazar Melubash Urim v'Tumim. Elazar would wear the Urim v'Tumim. V'Yoshua v'chol Yisrael omdim lefanav. So we'll say, Yoshua and all of Klal Yisrael are standing before Elazar. V'kalfi shel shvatim, v'kalfi shel tchumin, munachin lefanav. And I will say what happens. There are two boxes of lots. So one box that was filled with, 12 lots for each of the shvatim, and one box that was filled with 12 lots for the different portions of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so two different boxes with two different lotteries happening over here. So what happens? So what would happen? Elazar, the Kohen Gadol, would receive through Ruach HaKodesh, which also Bepashtos means through the Urim V'Tumim. Va'amar Zvulun Ola Tchum Ako. Zvulun Ola Tchum Ako Ola Imo. And Elazar would say the following: I'm about to pick out the lot of Zvulun from what we'll call the tribal lottery, and I'm going to pick out for Zvulun the tribal area of Akko, the Akko area of Akko. And what happens? Taraf Baka. So again, prophetically, he said which lot he was going to draw, which tribe was going to draw, and which tribal area was going to draw. Taraf Bakafi Shal Shvatim Va'Allah Biyado Zvulun. So we'll say, sure enough, he put his hand into the pot and drew out the card of Zvulun, the lot of Zvulun. Taraf Bakafi Shal Tchumin Va'Allah Biyado Tchum Akko. Then he would reach in to the container with the lots of the areas of Eretz Yisrael, and he pulled out Akko. V'chozer mechavim b'racha kodesh. And again, Elazar Cohen would say, Omer, Naftali Ola, Utchum Ginosar Ola Imo. He said, the next card I'm going to pick is going to be Naftali, and afterwards Ginosar is going to come with him. Sure enough, Taraf Bakafi Shal Shvatim, V'Allah Biyado Naftali, Taraf Bakafi Shal Tchumin, V'Allah Biyado Tchum Gino. So we'll say, first wide line, Kuf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. So sure enough, again, what would happen prophetically, he was able to tell which one he was going to go ahead and pick out. He picked out Naftali, picked out Ginosa. Beautiful. V'chein kol shevet v'shevet. And I will say, ultimately, again, this was done with each and every shevet. Now, I will say, now the obvious kasha that you're asking yourself is, why was this necessary? In other words, why the need? First of all, if you're already using the Urim V'Tumim, why need the lottery? And if you want to use the lottery, why use the Urim V'Tumim? So take a look at the Rashbam. It's the second wide line in the Rashbam, the last two words on the line, V'hayim Mechavim. V'hayim Mechavim Rechal Kodesh, Kelomar, Be'urim V'Tumim, She'sholim T'chila Be'urim V'Tumim, Kodim She'yitraf Hamamuna B'Kalfi. So again, Elazar Cohen would ask the Urim V'Tumim before he would draw the lots. U'bekach Miskareres Daiton Shal Yisrael. We'll say this was done, essentially, in order to show Klal Yisrael that the Chalukah, that the division of Eretz Yisrael, was glatt. That there are no questions, that no one should get upset with what they get. He says, Shagol haya ola kemoshen esnavet chila, v'yodim shechalukah yisharihi, v'lo hayu meraninim bidvar ha-shvatim ha-merubin. U'shnei kalfi utzvichin, echal le-shvatim ve-echal le-tchumin, v'lo sagi b'chad le-tchumin, v'lo ima akshu anayotu ma-shiyah le-biyadi, tzorach ruvein dimkein, ein kol ha-chalukah suyi b'goro. U'kra kamar ach b'goro, v'lo utzaz tibar m'viv. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. So essentially the Rashbam says, and this is an interesting psychology, you can understand that when, Eretz Yisrael, one of the most amazing things about Eretz Yisrael is what? Is the incredibly diverse topography and temperature within a very small area. It's exceptionally dramatic, right? They both say, I always feel, I'm always amazed by this. You know, when you drive from Yerushalayim to the Yam HaMelech, to the Dead Sea, in Gedi, Masada area, and it's amazing how in one moment you're in the middle of a city, and literally, again, 10 minutes, you are in the middle of Midbar Yehuda. You're literally in the middle of a desert. So one has to understand that when dividing up the land, it's not the pshat that like Eretz Yisrael is just flat land, right? And everything is fertile soil and everybody's pretty much getting the same thing. Meaning you've got very diverse topography. And as a result, again, you have different people getting different things. It would be understandable that there's the potential for some animosity or some jealousy. And already we saw that there was, even with everything they did. The goal over here was to show the people that the Chalukah, the division, was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. So you wanna be upset with what she got, I understand, but take it up with God. Meaning this is what the Ribono Shel Olam is giving you. So the way they solidified that, ultimately again, was using both the Urim V'Tumim as well as the Goral. This way, beyond the shadow of a doubt, this was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the hope is that if I'm getting the portion that God allotted for me, Hopefully I will be happy with that. So the Gemara goes, V'loke chalukah sha'olam azeh, chalukah sha'olam abah. We'll say second wide line in the Gemara. And the division of Eretz Yisrael that happened historically is not going to be the same as the division of Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. We'll say, the Olam Haba over here refers to Yemosa Mashiach. So we'll say, this is amazing, by the way. That apparently, again, one of the amazing things that's going to happen is that Mashiach is going to, once again, divide up Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim. He says, so the Chalukah, the first Chalukah by Yahushua, bless you, is different than the Chalukah of Mashiach. How so? So the Gemara says, Ha'olam hazeh, yesh lo adam sada lavan, ein lo sada paradis, ein lo sada lavan. So we'll say, when Yahushua divided up the land, so you know, if you got a grain field, you didn't get an orchard, and if you got an orchard, you didn't get a grain field. In other words, the Torah will say, everybody got different things within the land. However, the olam haba, in the future, when Mashiach comes, kol echad ve'ech, excuse me, aval the olam haba, ein lecha kol echad ve'echad, she'in lo bahar, Ubashvela Ubaimek. Shine Emar, Shah Ruvain Echad, Shah Yehuda Echad, Shah Levi Echad. Hakshabos says, so amazing for Mashiach comes and he redivides Eretz Yisrael, everyone is going to have everything. So a person is going to have some territory in the mountains, some in the valleys, some in the flat fields. It's going to have some orchards, some vineyards. So we'll say, so what's the pshat? So well, actually, one more piece. Furthermore, again, the Gemara says, V'akadosh Baruch Hu mechalekum lahem ba'atzmo. Furthermore, again, it's not going to be the Melech HaMashiach who conducts the chalukah, who conducts the division. Rather, it's going to be the Ribono Shel Olam who conducts the division. Shnei Amar, Ve'ela machlokosam no'um Hashem. So we'll say, if you think about this, by the way, it's so beautiful. What does it mean ultimately? I mean, what's the deeper meaning? That when Yahushua divided up the land, if you got an orchard, you didn't get a grain field. If you got a grain field, you didn't get an orchard. What I meant to say is that at the end of the day, even when we came into Eretz Yisrael, it was clear, meaning it was always part of the plan, that that residence was not going to be permanent. That was an impermanent residence. So Baruch Hashem, you know, we had over 800 years in Eretz Yisrael. We had over 1,000 years in Eretz Yisrael. We had two Bate Mikdash that spanned over 800 years. We had a good run. But what was clear was what? Was that it was not going to be permanent. It was not going to be permanent. But we'll say that impermanence is reflected on the imperfect division of Eretz Yisrael. That some get this and some get that. What the Gemara is suggesting over here, I think, is that what beauty is when Mashiach comes, Rabbi Osai, that is going to be a permanent and eternal chalukah. When Mashiach comes, we're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, we're never going to have to leave. When Mashiach comes, there's not going to be a third galus. This is it. And that permanence, that beauty, that harmony is reflected in the chalukah itself of Eretz Yisrael. That everyone gets everything. You're going to get some vineyard, you're going to get some orchard, you're going to get a little bit of mountain, a little bit of valley, a little bit of flat field. You're going to get a little bit of everything. That harmony, that perfection is reflected in almost like an equilibrium like chalukah of Eretz Yisrael. Something that we so eagerly anticipate for. Katani v'asabosa, and I remember again, remember how this discussion started? This discussion started with a simple question of, was Eretz Yisrael divided up amongst the Shvatim, or was it divided up amongst individuals? So the Gemara says we got a little bit sidetracked over speaking about Eretz Yisrael, but one thing is clear, which is, Mia katani miha shebetchila, so we'll say one thing is clear, which is Eretz Yisrael was not divided up amongst individuals, rather Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst Shvatim. So that's how he passed Kehaloch Alamayis. Again, Eretz Yisrael was divided up amongst the tribes, and then it was the job of the tribes to further divide it later on. Amen. Okay, Omer Mar, Asid Eretz Yisrael, Shetizchal Chosh HaShashad. So now the Gemara is going to go back and kind of dissect the Braisa we just read. So the first statement that was made is that in the future, Eretz Yisrael will be divided up amongst 13 Shvatim. So I'll say, that's nice, but there aren't 13 Shvatim. Right, so what's the 13th? So the Gemara says, Amar Chista Lenasi. So Rav Chista says, the 13th portion is going to go to the Nasi. Who's the Nasi, Rabbi Osi? If you look in the Rashbam, probably about 8 lines into the wide lines, L'Nasi, L'Melech HaMashiach. Rabbi Osi is actually amazing. Mashiach apparently gets his own portion in Eretz Yisrael. He gets his own chalukah. So the Gemara says, L'Nasi, Dichsiv, V'ha'ovet ha'ir ya'avdua mikol shiftei Yisrael. Literally, Rabbi said the Oved Ha'ir. Now, interestingly enough, the Mashiach is referred to over here as in Yecheskel as the Oved Ha'ir, the one who works for the city, because Rabbi said ultimately again, the Melech Mashiach is a public servant. Right, he works for the klal. So the Oved Ha'ir, the one who works for the city, works for klal Yisrael. Yavdu mikol shiftei Yisrael. Ultimately, again, he will be served. Right, he will be served from kol shiftei Yisrael. He will be served ultimately again from all of the tribes. Which the Gemara's understanding over here to mean what? The Gemara's understanding over here that lamaisa, everyone is going to go ahead and give him of their land. So I'm going to papa la baye ema run gar ba'amo. Or maybe it means, I don't know, maybe it means that literally the Mashiach is going to have a workforce that is comprised of different shvatim, to which the Gemara says, no, because the pasuk seems to indicate that each of the tribes are going to yield or to cede a part of their tribal portion in order to go ahead and make up a portion for the Mashiach. So what does Mirbo say? He says, first of all, it's an incredible Yisod, that even Melech HaMashiach is going to get a portion in Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes. Furthermore, again, Rabbi, remember we said the land, Eretz Yisrael, was divided up according to its value. So what does this mean? Shene Amar, Bein Rav Lema'at, because Rabbi says, the pasuk says, whether you have a lot or a little. So Lema'at, what does this mean? Ilema l'shufra v'sanya. So we'll say, does this mean the following? That let's say some shvatim got superior land, some shvatim got inferior land. So are you telling me now that the shevet who went ahead and good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. The shevet who went ahead and got the superior land has to go ahead and pay money to the one who got inferior land, and that somehow equalizes everything? So the Gemara says, Atu Bishuf Tani Askinam, are we dealing with fools? In other words, both saying, if you go ahead and you get more expensive land, more fertile land, and you give someone else a cash payment to equalize some of the value, both saying, that cash payment is nice, but that's a one-time cash payment. Lemais, again, the person is still stuck with the inferior land, which was presumably is going to yield an inferior yield as well. So how does a one-time cash payment equalize the tribal portions? To which the Gemara says, Ella, l'krovu r'choka. This is actually quite amazing. Rather, again, what it means is the following. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. L'krovu r'choka, we'll say about seven lines up from the bottom. Hakarkoz ha'yucholki m'shavev. In reality, we'll say, the land of Eretz Yisrael was divided up equally amongst the tribes. Mishal kech min ha'kachosh, notel yosel, notel yoser, ad kidami ha'yofeh, ava mishal lo gorolot. So we'll say, listen to this. In reality, the land was divided up in a financially equitable way, which means that if let's say one shevet got exceptionally fertile soil, they would get a smaller portion, whereas a tribe that was given more inferior soil got a larger portion. So at the end of the day, the portions were equalized by value. That was done. What was Rabbi say? So where was the inequality in their tribal portions? So the Rashbam suggests, the Gemara suggests, it's in their proximity to Yerushalayim. We'll say, right? Amazing how we're having this Gemara today. In their proximity to Yerushalayim. Because we'll say, everyone knows that the closer you are to Yerushalayim, the better position you have. The Rashbam goes on, he says, rather, b'kiev l'Yerushalayim, ma'ala ma'os, l'ma'os, l'misha ala g'rala barachok Yerushalayim. So we'll say, those who got portions closer to Yerushalayim had to go ahead and give a financial payout to those who are further from Yerushalayim. Why? What's the benefit of being close to Yerushalayim? Sharachok garua mipnei shnei dvarim. Because we'll say, being farther away from Yerushalayim is problematic on two levels. Echad, mipnei sharachok mi beis hamikdash. We'll say, number one, because you're further from the beis hamikdash. We'll say, this is an amazing yisod. All of Eretz Yisrael is kadosh. We'll say, you understand, like, the incredible confluence of events. I just want to point out, that only is a 7.5-year cycle, right? The idea that we're talking about Kirov Yerushalayim, being close to Yerushalayim, being close to the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Yerushalayim, we'll say, what are the odds? An incredible, this is Hashgacha, like we learn Gan Emunah. Everything is Hashgacha, this is an Ashika, this is a kiss from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we get to do this Gemara today. Because we'll say, again, a person wants to be close to the Beis HaMikdash. Again, I am far from Yerushalayim, far from the Beis HaMikdash. It's actually very interesting. So Yerushalayim, as you know, is the center of the country. The closer you are to the center, the more protected you are as well. the further you are from the center, the closer you are to surrounding enemies. So those who got a portion farther from Eretz Yisrael, farther from Yerushalayim, had a double disadvantage. Number one, you're further from the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, you're closer to external enemies. Therefore, again, what did they do? So the Gemara says, "V'yishol lidog man, Rabbi Yehuda milsa ba'ampinav shekamar to mishenafel gorolo be'agolo." So we'll say fine. So let's go back to next. Go back to the Gemara for just a moment. So the Gemara says, "I'm sorry." So we're going to talk about that right now. So the Gemara says the following. El the krover rocholka kitanoi. Rabbi Eliezer Omer biksafim ha'alua. So Rabbi Eliezer says that they went ahead and they equalized their portion through monetary payments. However they came up with this scale, but lamaisa again, there's obviously a premium on living in Yerushalayim, and therefore again, I will say that premium was added value to the tribal property, and therefore somehow again that financial amount was equalized with the other tribes. Rabbi Yeshua Omer bekarka ha'alua. Rabbi Yeshua says no. There was no financial distribution. Instead, what they did was the following. We'll say, if you were in Yerushalayim or close to Yerushalayim, your portions were smaller. Further from Yerushalayim, your portions were larger. But what about the value? So we'll say, if there's one thing that never changes, it's that what's a big driver in the value of real estate? Big driver? Location. So we'll say, so at the end of the day, you see, we always thought that Lemaisa, the value of your tribal portion in Eretz Yisrael, was based on agricultural output. The Gemara says, no, that's certainly a part of it, but Lemaisa again, proximity or location to Yerushalayim, proximity to Yerushalayim, was also a major driver in the value of the tribal portion. Therefore, I'm going to both say, essentially what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Lemaisa, they recalibrated the value of all of the different portions in order that everyone should end up with something quote-unquote equal. But the value of those portions, the Gemara introduces to us, was not simply based on agricultural output, but Yerushalayim, or proximity to Yerushalayim, was also a driver in the value. So the Gemara goes back to Lona. Schalka ala begoro. Remember, the land was only divided up, ultimately, again, in a lottery. Shenemar ach begoro. Tana ach begoro. Tana ach begoro. Yati Yoshua v'kali. So we'll say, the Gemara says, ach begoro. Mostly now, remember, the word ach is a miyut. Whenever you see ach, ach is always an exclusionary word. So what does ach come to exclude? It comes to exclude Yoshua and Kalev. That Yoshua and Kalev were not given their portions through the goro. What does this mean? Lemai, ilay medelo shakol klalev. When I say that means Yoshua and Kalev didn't get a portion of Eretz Yisrael, we know that's not true. Hashta delav dido shakol didomi bai. We'll say if at the end of the day, we just established before that what? Yoshua and Kalev received the portions of the spies, right? We discussed that not only did they receive their own portions, they got the portions of the Magim. They got other portions, of course they got their own portions as well. Elo, shalom natlu begora ela api Hashem. Rather, what it means is they did not receive their portions through a goro. Rather, the Ribbono Shel Olam communicated to them directly what their portions were. I will say, by Yoshua it says, "Api Hashem nastalo asair asher shal as timnas serach bahar Ephraim." So by Yoshua it says, by the word of God, they gave him the portion that he requested. And if the Gemara says, "Ksiv amud beis serach uksiv cheres," so we'll say calls the tribal portion of Yoshua serach, and it also calls it cheres. So we'll say again. So why does it call it by two different names? We'll say before Yoshua took possession of his portion, the fruit was like earthenware. In other words, it was all dried up. It wasn't good. But yeah, when Yoshua took possession of that and began to work it, masrichin, they would rot. Now we'll say, so you say to yourself, well, that's not good. It means that they were so sweet that if they were not consumed quickly, they would rot, which was an incredible source of bracha. The Ikadami, others explain, betchila masrichin, others say just the reverse. In the beginning, before Yoshua took possession of the portion, their fruit would rot, ulabasov kecheres. But then when he took possession of it, the fruits would sustain like earthenware, which stays for a long time. But we'll say the point the Gemara is saying over here is that what? Is that Yoshua received his portion not through the goro, not through the lottery, but rather, again, only through Ba'api Hashem, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kalev, Dichsivayitnu LeKalev Eschevron, Kasher Diber Moshe. So Vayoresh Misham Eshlosh Bnei Anak. So we'll say ultimately again, Kalev, it says that Kalev was given the Chevron as Moshe Rabbeinu said. So we'll say, see over here again, he's not getting it through the Goral. Rather again, they're both getting it through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, according to what we learned before, makes sense. Why was the Goral? Why was the Goral necessary? Why did they need Goral and Urim Betumim? What do we see in the Rashbam? Said no one should have any complaints. Right? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu realized that Kalev Yisrael, there were going to be those who complained. He got a bigger portion, he got a better portion, he got a nicer portion. So therefore, again, the Goral, the lottery, and the Urim Betumim were there to say, listen, this is from God. It was like Kalev and Yoshua, who were incredible, or men of incredible emunah, at the end of the day, did not need the Goral, did not need the Urim Betumim. Ultimately, again, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to give them, their emunah was such that they were ready to accept it. Incredible. Then I was like, get ready for this. Again, it's amazing how today's, If you know, Rabbi Nachman has this. We said this over by the Nila Sachag on Pesach. Rabbi Nachman has a beautiful vart where he explains that the power of the neshama is, you know, the guf, the body, is limited in that the body can only be where it is. Right? I'm sitting here, so I can't physically. I can't be somewhere else than where I am right now. So Rebbe says it's not true with the neshama. The soul could be anywhere you want it to be. The Rebbe says, if you close your eyes and you want to feel yourself standing at the Kosel Ma'aravi, you want to feel yourself by Maras HaMachpelah, you want to feel yourself, you know, in Tzfat, wherever you want to be, that's where your neshama could go. That's where neshama goes. So we'll say, we have that koach. And then when you learn Sugis of Eretz Yisrael, so understand, you know, if you close your eyes, and don't close your eyes because you should follow inside. But Lamaisa, sometimes, you know, you could close your eyes even if your eyes are open. You know, so ultimately, again, if you close your eyes with your eyes wide open and you open your neshama, you could, when you read these words, you could experience Eretz Yisrael as well. So the Gemara says, Chevron ir miklat. The city of Chevron, Abosai, this is amazing. It's a little known fact. The city of Chevron was an ir miklat, was a city of refuge. Listen, you know again that throughout the Eretz Yisrael, there were a number of cities of refuge, which were cities where if somebody killed someone else, Beshoge, accidentally, they would flee to for refuge from the Goladam, from the Redeemer, from the relative of the deceased, of the person who was murdered. So Chevron was an ir miklat. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is saying, is bringing this up as a problem, because how can you say that Chevron was given to Kalev? Right? Remember again, I will say, Ari Miklat were public property. In fact, the only people who really lived permanently in Ari Miklat were who? The Leviim. Right? Remember, Levi's not given a tribal area, but the area that Levi does get, right? Levi lives ultimately again in an Ir Miklat. So we'll say, at the end of the day, how can you say that Chevron was given to Kalev when it was an Ir Miklat? To which the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Parvarha. So when we don't mean that literally that Kalev was given Chevron, but rather he was given Parvarha, which means Rashbam says Kfarim v'sado shesavev la'ir chutz la'migrash. But say he was given the surrounding cities. You're right. He wasn't given Chevron itself. Rather, again, he was given ultimately the surrounding areas around Chevron. Tichsiv v'sadeh ir v'schatera. Because the pasuk says the fields around the city, the courtyards around the city, ultimately was given to Kalev ben Yefuna as his achuzah. We'll say, just I'll taste something amazing. And wonder to yourself, so why is it? So think about this for just a moment. Chevron is an ir miklat. We'll say, why is Chevron an ir miklat? Because think about this for just a moment. When a child is scared, and a child requires refuge, right? The child is scared. So where does a child run? Where does a child run? You run into the protective embrace of your parents. I would say Chevron, right, is the burial place of the Avos and the Mos. When the Jew is scared, when I'm uncertain, when there are people running after me, ultimately, again, there's only one place I want to be, and that's under the protective wing of my mother and my father. Such an incredible, incredible idea. So I say, so you know, again, it's important also, it's all Ashgacha. You know, again, Chevron was also, quote-unquote, recaptured on Yom Yerushalayim. Remember, Yerushalayim gets all of the credit. And understandably so, it's Yerushalayim. And also, understand that Hebron was also recaptured. Of course, it was much less dramatic than the recapturing of Yerushalayim. Because also remember, again, Hebron was recaptured by an army of one. Hebron was recaptured by Rav Goren. Right? Rav Goren walked in. Rav Tzihuda Kohen Kok, Zechatzadik Livracha, writes They put out, Rav Aviner put out a little chuvert, a little booklet of Rav Tzihu, the Sichos and Yom Yerushalayim. So when Rav Goren got to Har Habayis, so he went ahead and he called Rav Tzihu, the Kohen Kok, to tell him that he got to Har Habayis. And ultimately, again, you know, Yerushalayim is once again ours. So Rav Goren says to Rav Kook, he says, do you want to come with me to Hebron? So Rav Kook says, I thought that he lost it. I didn't understand what he meant. You know, go with me to Hebron. Well, so, you know, you and I could say that to each other. You want to go to Hebron today? He says, you want to go to Hebron? He said, we're going to recapture Hebron. So Rav Tzihuda says, who's we? You know, who's we? Rav Goren says, we, me and you, let's go. He said, I'll send my driver. So it didn't exactly work out, but Rav Goren went ahead. And I will say, you know, the city of Hebron was surrendered to Rav Goren. The city of Hebron was surrendered to Rav Goren. Rav Goren drove into the city with his driver. There were white sheets hanging on the windows, hanging on the storefronts. There was no army. There was no regiment. Rav Goren himself goes in and literally doesn't conquer it. It's surrendered to him. Let's say an incredible, like, Nisim v'niflos. So the Gemara goes right. Let's go. Let's say the Mishnah. Echad ben, right, back to Yerusha. So Echad ben ve'Echad abas benachla. So we'll say. So now the Mishnah says the following. Echad ben ve'Echad abas benachla means both sons and daughters share the same when it comes to inheritance. So the Gemara says Ella shaben notal pishnayim benichseav ve'no notal pishnayim benichseim. But rather, again, I will say the difference is that a son takes a double portion in the property of his father, and he does take a double portion in the property of his mother. So we already spoke about this beforehand. The din of pishnayim, the din of a double portion, is only a din ultimately in the property of a father, not the property of a mother. Va'bonos nizonos minichsei avim nizonos minichsei. Daughters are supported from the estate of the father, but do not receive support from the estate of the mother. So the Gemara asks the following kasha. My echad haben, the echad habas lenacha. So I'll say. So what is the meaning of the statement when it says that echad haben, the echad habas lenacha? As well, say the Mishnah begins with a statement that sons and daughters are the same for inheritance purposes. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, "Ilema diyarsi ki adadi." If you want to say that they inherit the same way, so how can we already learn this? Ben kodim labas. So we'll say, you know, they don't inherit the same. Because we've already established that what? That a son precedes a daughter for inheritance. Not only that, but remember, any descendants of the son inherit his inheritance position and have precedence over the daughter as well. This is what it means to say. What it means to say is the following. That both a son and a daughter are able to take what we call beroi kibemuchsak. So we've spoken about these terms before. So muchsak refers to property owned by the father at the time of his death. Roi refers to items owed to the father at the time of his death. So remember again, Rabbi say the halacha is, we spoke about before that a bechor only takes pishnayim, only takes a double portion in what the father owns at the time of his death, not what is owed to the father at the time of his death. But Rabbi say, For general inheritance purposes, leaving aside pishan, leaving aside double portion, for general inheritance purposes, the halacha rabosai is that both sons and daughters not only inherit that which the father owns, but also inherit that which the father is owed. Ro'i kememoksa. The Rishon LeZion says, well, we learned that already. Hanami tenina, b'no slavchad natlu shlosh chalokim benachalo, chelek adi en shayim miyotzei mitzrayim. So also we already learned that halacha. We learned that in the last Mishnah by Benos Tzlafchad, that the daughters of Tzlafchad took three different portions in their father's Nachala, the portion of their father, right, the portion of their father, the portion of the father Yotzi Mitzrayim, his portion with his brothers in Nechsechef. And Rabbo said the assumption is that stuff was Ro'i, not Muchzak. Right, that was an entitlement, but Hefer did not own those things. So we already learned that a son and a daughter inherit not only that which is owned by the father, but that which is owed, an entitlement to the father as well. Va'od, my Ella. Furthermore, I will say, what's the lashon in the Mishnah of Ella? Ella shaben no dal bishnayim. To which the Gemara says, Ella mara papachim. So Papa will say, advances another interpretation. Echad aben ve'echad abas, not lin chelek bebechora. So I will say what it means is the following. That both the son and daughter inherit the bechora of their father. Now, Zabos say that if, let's say, the deceased father was a bechor and therefore is going to get pishnayim in his father's estate, when the son and daughter inherit their deceased father, they inherit his bechor position as well, and they inherit his entitlement to pishnayim. Tushin Gemara says, okay, we learned that already. Hanami tanina v'shahaya bechor not al shnei chalokim. So we already learned this concept before, that if the deceased father himself was a bechor and he predeceased his father, that ultimately the son and daughter inherit their father's inheritance position, their father's pishnayim position. V'od ma'ela. Furthermore, again, Abba say, how do you understand or reconcile the syntax of the Mishnah with that word? Because Abba said the Mishnah reads strangely. Echad ben ve'echad abas benachala. So a son and daughter both have nachala, ella, except that what? So it was like, the first statement seems to equate the two nachalos, the two inheritance portions, and then ella seems to indicate that they're different. So the Gemara says, ella, amar avashi achikamar. This is how you have to interpret the Mishnah. Echad ben habanim, ve'echad bas ben habanos, im amar yorash kol mechasai dvarav kayamin. So let's listen to this. We're going to see this later on. We're going to see this later on Daf Kuflama. Next week, we're going to see this. But if you take a look at the Rashbam, so if you look at, actually, I'll just say this outside just because of time. So I'll say the halacha is the following. Not the halacha. The statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Merokha is the following. Let's say a man has a number of sons. And a man says, So Yaakov has Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Yaakov says, I only want Shimon to inherit my estate, thank you. I only want Shimon to inherit my estate. Or for that matter, Reuven has three daughters, right? Sarah, Rivka, Rachel. And what happens? He says, I only want Rivka to inherit my estate. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, such a pre-death declaration works to convey the entire estate to one of the children. As long as what? As long as that children had the proper position of an inheritor. So if a man was going to go ahead and had three sons, and his three sons were going to divide up his estate, so Lamais, again, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, he has the ability to convey the entire estate to one of the sons, because that son anyway had a position of an inheritor, leaving aside Bechar and Pishnayim for right now. Similarly, if a man just had only daughters, so therefore his daughters are going to inherit, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says that he can convey the entire estate to one daughter. Now we'll discuss where Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka gets this and whether or not we actually paskin this way, but he says that this is the possibility. We'll say, what can't you do? If a man has sons and daughters, right, a man can't say that what? I'm leaving all of my property to my daughter Rivka. Why? Because we both say that's going against Torah law. That's masna masha kasuba Torah. That's going against Torah law. And anytime you go against Torah law, you make a tanai contrary to Torah law, then lemaisa, again, what happens? Your tanai is batal. Your tanai is batal. So the Gemara says that's the suggestion over here. So Ravashi is saying, echad ben habanim, whether you are a son among sons or a daughter amongst daughters, if a father says, yarash kol mechasai, a father gives over his estate to one of the children, his words are upheld. Kiman, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Both say this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, as we will see later on. I hakatanali to come up, but we're going to learn that later on. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka Omer. Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka says, Im Amar Amisharai Liyarsho. If a father makes this declaration, assuming that it's about one of his children, who is a first position inheritor, then Dvarav Kayamin. Then his words work. Amisharai Liyarsho. But Rabbi say, if he says it about someone who is not a first position inheritor, then Ein Dvarav Kayamin. Then ultimately, again, his words are not upheld. The Chitim, so we'll say, the Gemara suggesting, or Shtei Ravashi suggesting, there are Mishnahs reflecting this idea. The Chitim, Kastam Lan Krav Yochanan Ben Baroka. So we'll say, maybe you're going to say that our Mishnah, which we'll say, if you notice, lacks attribution. The Mishnah doesn't say Divrei so-and-so. The Mishnah is what we call a Stam Mishnah, which means a Mishnah without attribution. So maybe you're going to tell me that, therefore, again, because the Mishnah lacks attribution, we know who his opinion is, it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. I will say, if that's the case, we get into a very interesting technical issue. If that's the case, then it's Stam Ba'achrakach Machlokesi. I will say, they are make this a Stam Mishnah. Now we're going to see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, others disagree with him. The Mishnah Koflamet is going to record a Machlokesi in Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka and the Rabbanon, which I will say just means that from a Mishnaic stylistic level, all we have is the following. A Stam Mishnah, which reflects the view of Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, followed by a Mishnah that records a Machlokes with Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Rabbi said, whenever you have a Stam Va'acharkach Machlokes, a Stam Mishnah that reflects a view, followed by a Mishnah that reflects a Machlokes, What's the halacha? Ein halacha kistam. Ultimately, again, the halacha does not follow the stam mishnah. So we'll say that'd be problematic. Va'od my Ella. Furthermore, again, what do you do with the syntax of the Mishnah of Ella? So the Gemara says, Ella Amar Mar Bar Rav Hashi Achikamer. This is what I mean. So we'll just do this last time and we'll stop. Achikamer. Echad Aben ve'echad Abbas Shavin b'nichsei Av v'nichsei Aim. Rather, I will say, what the Mishnah means to say is the following. Both a son and both a daughter are the same in that they both stand to inherit the property of the mother and the property of the father. This is what the Mishnah means to say, I will say, that they both inherit their parents. Property of father, property of mother. What's the difference? Ela Shaben notal pi shnayim b'nichsei av. They know notal pi shnayim b'nichsei. Rather, I will say, what's the difference? The difference just is that a son inherits a double portion in his father's estate, but does not inherit a double portion in his mother's estate. So I will say, so bottom line, after exhausting all the possibilities, the Gemara comes back to what we kind of assumed was the Pashat Pshat in the Mishnah from the beginning, namely, that Echad Aben ve'Echad Abbas Benachala means that both the son and both the daughter stand to inherit their father's estate and their mother's estate. So wherein lies the distinction between their power of inheritance? Elo, Shabbein Nota Pishtayim B'Nechseav, we'll say the only difference is that a son gets his double portion of Bechora in his father's estate, but does not get the double portion of Bechora ultimately again in his mother's estate. Alright, we'll say Shkayach, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem, bottom of Kuf Chaf Beis tomorrow. I'm going to send up on the WhatsApp group. We're probably going to start a little bit earlier tomorrow because tomorrow is a pretty long daf, so just stay tuned on the WhatsApp group for the start of the shiur tomorrow morning.
Does the eldest daughter get the peach nine as well?
No. It's a din in the sun.